Thanks to Wollongong Mazda. You'll love the Wollongong Mazda difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Guys, it's not every day that DJ Dino runs into the studio and says, hey, I've got something for you. Can you help us out? So DJ Dino, he spends most of his lifetime on the socials.
He's on Facebook, it's Insta, non-stop.
It's Twitter. He's on TikTok, and he found this on TikTok.
Okay, so he loves his TikTok, Dino.
He does love his TikTok. Yeah. So he raced in, and I don't even know what the hell he's talking about, but he's given me something, and he said, look, just play this, please. I need to get the opinion of all of you. So, guys, I'm going to call this the DJ Dino Hypothetical. I don't know what the hell's going on, but here, have a listen to this. Listen carefully, is all I've been told. Play it and listen carefully.
Jade, Straney, Damien, would you spend your life being chased for $10 million? The rules. You get $10 million right now, but there's a snail chasing you for the rest of your life. If it touches you, you die a terrible death. The snail cannot be killed or caught. It knows your location at all times, but you don't know its location. Its only purpose is to find you. Are you taking the money?
Oh, I'm taking the money. I'm already saying that straight away. I don't care. You know, granted, a snail's a small thing. Okay.
So you're taking the money, and we'll get your reasoning in just a tick. Jade, are you taking the money?
No, I don't think I'd take the money.
What?
Well, because I don't want to feel like something's going. But like, you have to literally be looking over your shoulder your whole life.
But it's a snail.
But it doesn't matter.
It's an invincible snail. Just remember that. You can't kill
the snail. And, like, you've got to sleep. You've got to sleep at some time. So when you sleep, you're not moving. The snail will catch up.
highly unlikely. All you got to do, just before you go to bed at nighttime, just run around the block. If it chases after you, or just go to the room next, so the snail never knows which bedroom you're going to be sleeping in.
No.
Well, it knows where you are at all times.
Yeah. The rules, Damien, the rules. You got to listen to the rules, mate.
Okay,
I told you.
Go again. Go on.
You get $10 million right now, but there's a snail chasing you for the rest of your life. If it touches you, you die a terrible death. The snail cannot be killed or caught. It knows your location at all times, but you don't know its location. Its only purpose is to find you. Are you taking the money?
Yeah, Dino's got quite a deep voice, doesn't he?
He does. He's very authoritative, wouldn't he? Yeah, yeah.
So you would take the money?
I would take the money.
You're all good with it.
Would you take the money, Straney?
Well, I don't know. The thing is, I don't know. I'm a bit with Jade. You would eventually be caught by the snail. Now, they travel at 1 metre per hour.
A metre an hour.
You're sleeping for how long at night?
Okay.
I mean...
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Okay, so, yeah, but just get this, okay? Just before we get into the fine details of this, I've just been given $10 million. Yes. First thing I do, I buy a new house and I build a moat. I build a moat around it and I fill the moat with water and crocodiles, okay? So let's just clear that up right from the start, okay? There's a bridge that I can control of, so... The only thing that can cross over the bridge is me when I hit the remote control. Mm. If the snail's not on the bridge at the time, the snail's not getting into my house, all right? So when I'm in my house, the snail, unless the snail can fly, and I didn't hear that in the rules, okay, I don't think the snail could get anywhere near me.
Ooh, Jake.
Okay, so wait, now I want to change what I said because I've had a little think about this now. Mm-hmm. And I think about if I got the $10 million, I'm going to get on a plane and fly to the Bahamas. So that's 16,000 kilometres away. How fast did you say a snail can travel?
Snail travels 1 metre per hour. 1 metre per hour.
It's your whole life, though. Bear this in mind.
You're living in the Bahamas.
You're sipping on a mojito, and then you're like 97 years of age, and out of nowhere,
bam!
A snail comes to get me. What a way to go, though, hey? At 97, I'll be begging for him to catch up.
Thanks to Wollongong Mazda. You'll love the Wollongong Mazda difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Now, look, we thought we'd enlist the help of Travis Winks, our newsreader here at Wave FM this morning. Gladys Berejiklian got us all excited. Remember October 18, a whole list of freedoms. Oh, we're going to be back. We're going to be right.
Yeah.
Locally, though, extremely concerning to see our COVID numbers rising. We've been right a part of this campaign of Vax the Illawarra, but we're hearing this morning there are actually dozens of active cases right here in postcode 2502 of Warrawong. So.
Yeah, so Trav, now I believe you're after receiving a letter or a copy of a letter that some residents in Warrawong have received. Talk us through what's in that letter.
Yeah, well, it highlights four streets in Warrawong that people have tested positive for COVID. Oh. So residents around those streets have been sent this letter. The bulk of them received it yesterday. And it tells them that it's possible that they may have been in contact with a person with COVID-19 and they're now considered casual contacts. So they've been told that they have to get tested immediately and self-isolate until they receive a negative result. They're also instructed to minimise all contact with anyone and that they have to undertake another test this Saturday. And if it's a negative test, you've still got to monitor for symptoms until the 11th of October.
All right, well, that's pretty full on. Okay.
That sounds like it's pretty full on if they're doing a letter drop. Did like, you get the information direct from the Illawarra Shoalhaven Health District, or did you just get that info from somebody sharing a letter with you?
Jade, I would never get this information from the Illawarra Shoalhaven Local Health District. In fact, I've posed the question. There's four streets that they've outlined in this letter. Yeah. I've posed the question twice over the last 6 days, naming three of these streets because I was given some very good mail last Thursday that a number of people had tested positive in three of these four streets. And I was told blankly that it's not part of the multi-agency response, which is in reference to the situation that we have at the Cure Review Apartments Wollongong Homeless Hub in Piccadilly. That's a multi-agency response. So there was no further information to share, but it's fascinating that this letter's now been distributed to a number of residents around those streets, plus another one telling them that they're casual contacts and they've got to get tested straight away.
Trev, why aren't Illawarra Shoalhaven Local Health District, why aren't they supplying us, the local media, this sort of info so that we can provide that info to the public?
Look, in their defence, health matters are private, okay?
Sure.
So, and I'd even put that to you guys. Like when people talk amongst themselves or within workplaces about vaccination, are you getting vaccinated? Well, quite frankly, it's none of your business.
Sure.
Mm. Okay? And there's privacy issues at play with that. So I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not naming the streets.
Yep.
I've shared a copy of this letter on our news page at wavefm.com.au, but I've put a line through the street names.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to share information like Paul Scully asked for with postcode breakdowns. Mm. Well done. I think that they also need to share information about the age breakdowns.
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed, and again, no one's really forthcoming with this information. You can dig around and eventually find it. But over the last 4 weeks, it was the 29 to 39-year-old age bracket that had the most case numbers in Greater Sydney. That includes us, okay?
Sure.
And the 0 to 9-year-old bracket was the fourth highest. It's now almost equal second.
Wow.
0 to 9. And what did Gladys Berejiklian do?
Mm.
She made the friends bubble.
Yep.
I know. Yeah.
And that's the thing. We need knowledge is power. It also gives you a good indication of what's going on in your area.
Yeah, and Paul Scully pushed, the member for Wollongong pushed for the postcode breakdowns because he wanted to stop rumours.
Mm.
So they have an opportunity. New South Wales Health has an opportunity to stop rumours and be more transparent. If they expect the public to have the vaccine, then they need to be more forthcoming with a whole range of information. But the privacy is a challenge, but you're still not naming names.
Yeah,
you
exactly
know,
right.
It's so good what you just said there, because that's actually the one thing I've felt throughout this entire lockdown that we've gone through. The government has had the opportunity on so many occasions to quash rumours, to quash any sort of theories that are going around there that are just incorrect or maybe that are falsified or whatever else, and they've never done it.
No, they haven't.
And
done
I can't understand even TGA. There's been things about the TGA that have been posted online. How come a TGA representative has never come out and said, hey, actually, that is rubbish. Either true or it's not true? you know, stop the rumor when it starts. I don't understand that.
Cut the head off the snake and the snake's gone. Trav, look, we appreciate this. This is an ongoing story. We know you're continuing to do more research about it. And if you want to find out more details, and you can actually see the letter that has been sent to residents, as Trav said, on the news page at wavefm.com.au.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Jade, just a quickie. Big day for you, mate. I'd
just like to say a quick little happy birthday to Miss Lulu Tonta.
Oh, happy birthday, Lulu. Woohoo!
She's 8 today.
Oh, wow.
And my birthday gift from her was for her to come into the bedroom at 4 a.m. and turn the light on and say, "Mom, it's my birthday."
Oh, look at that.
Yes, it is, Lulu. It is. Oh, she's that excited, though. So I don't know about you guys, but in our household, we have the Women's Weekly Birthday Cake Book.
Oh, yeah. That's a staple in every household.
That's right. It's true. We've actually got two copies because the girls both like to sit there at the same time, Lulu and Arwen, and pour over the book and decide what cake they're going to have for their birthday.
And they all look amazing, don't they? I mean, that book is just, that's just tempting everything. Tempting fate, tempting arguments, tempting everything.
It is so true. And it's like, well, growing up, we used to do the same thing. Every year you'd spend 11 months picking your birthday cake. And then you'd have it, and then you'd do the next 11 months. I remember the castle was my favourite, my fifth birthday cake. Still remember it. But Lulu, she decided that she was going to have the duck cake because...
Sorry, the what
Bluey.
Cake?
Duck, you know, the duck.
Oh, yeah,
it's got it's got the chips for the mouth.
On the legs,
And it's got popcorn.
It's huge.
On its body. Oh, it's huge.
And duck.
Yeah.
It's an actual duck. And it's the reason is because it's featuring on Bluey at the moment. Bingo. The little dog on Bluey. She wants the duck cake. And so Lulu had that at top of mind. But at the 11th hour, she changed her mind. Oh. I didn't really mind so much because I wasn't making the cake. The person who took on the cake making this year was my husband. He doesn't make many cakes.
4:45 p.m. This is when the icing begins. Lulu's chosen the biggest cake out of the Women's Weekly Birthday Cake.
She thought it was going to be the biggest cake. We're off to a rickety start, mate.
It said grease the tin. I greased the tin with butter.
My mum would have been very disappointed. Butter and then dust with flour or baking paper, mate.
Next time, don't outsource.
Okay, so Milko's in there. He's become the chef extraordinaire. All right.
Yeah.
And then you're in there as well. You're like the too many cooks in the kitchen spoiling the broth. Yeah. You're that person.
I totally am. Well, I said I'd help out and I'd make the cake, like, actually bake the cake for him. And I apparently didn't grease the tins properly. So all the cake came out all crumpled and falling apart.
He's fired.
So he had to deal with me. I'm not a very good sous chef or assistant chef or whatever I was. But Lulu had changed her mind and went from the duck to the dump truck, which is the biggest cake in the birthday cake book. And she chose it because it had the most lollies on it.
Understandable.
My husband had to make this massive dump truck, and not only was it me ruining the cake, but he didn't know how to ice it, so he had a trowel. He was using a trowel to ice the cake. And then when he went to the bathroom, Arwen, our four-year-old, played with the cake and broke the tip tray, and he came out. He was losing it.
Geez.
Things were touch and go for a while, but it all ended okay.
The Great Jamboree Bake Off. What time is it?
2:30.
So what do we have here?
We've got the Macca's dump truck. Burgers and chippies. We've got some Coke bottles going through the dirt.
What's not to love?
So this sounds awesome. Okay, so it's filled with all lollies at the back. It's fully fit. And I mean, are you impressed with what he did?
I'm very impressed. I am so impressed. And Lulu is absolutely going to love it. And you know what I love? He was so successful that he can make all the kids' birthday cakes.
Biggest mistake he made. You just got to screw up a little bit. That's all you got to do, Milko. Just a little bit would have done it.
In Milko, you are now the birthday cake maker forever.
He thinks I accidentally didn't know how to grease a cake tin. I did that on purpose.
Hey, poor old Milko.
Thanks to Wollongong Master. You'll love the Wollongong Master difference. Jade, Straney and Damien on Wave FM 96.5.
Would you class yourself as a confrontational person? Are you the sort of person that sees something, sees an injustice in the community and goes, you know what? I'm going to rise to this occasion. I'm going to sort this out.
Depends what it is. If somebody's like been picked on or the underdog, then yes.
Oh, so you'll step in. So if you see something that's going on and you go, that's just wrong, I'm stepping in here.
Yeah, sometimes I would. Depends how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling confident and ballsy, yes.
Oh. Good on you, Jade. Good on you. I like that.
What about you, Strani? Are you
I'm with Jade. I'd step in. If someone was doing something wrong, you've got to step in.
All right. Okay. Well, look.
Good on you, Jade. I'm with you on that. Well done.
Well, look, ordinarily, I would as well. Okay?
No, you wouldn't.
No, I would.
Depends what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'll give you a scenario, okay? In our house where we live, We're on a high hill, okay? We're on the top side. We're on a bit of a slope, okay? And our house is a balcony area that overlooks the street below. Mm. And quite often, Isla and I will sit out there and we'll sip our coffee and we'll chat about the world. Mm. Yeah, and we will watch the world passing us by, and it's a beautiful thing. Mm. But what we do see a lot is people walking their dogs, okay?
Yeah, of course.
As they roam by. Now, they don't know where up there. But we know that they're down. They can't see us.
They can't see you.
But you can see them. You're like Big Brother.
Yeah, we can see what's going on. And sometimes even Billy, our dog, will sit with us as well. And he's on patrol. So, and we've kind of taken up this position of,
Neighbourhood watch.
Neighbourhood watch. You know, we are neighbourhood watch. Even the kids will get involved in this. What we have noticed and what we've observed over the last while is that people will be walking their dogs, and occasionally we'll spot them leave the dog poo. You know, the dog does its business, and we will spot them do the old kind of look around, and then roam on.
They can't see the leaves there, so they feel obligated. If they saw you, they would feel obligated to pick it up.
Well, they don't know that we're there.
Of course.
We've had a couple of occasions where the kids are actually standing beside us, and they're like, all right, they're going to pick it up. You know, and we're kind of having this whole betting thing. Will they pick it up? And there are a couple of,
When they don't pick it up, the whole family go, hey!
Do you say anything? No, normally what I do is I pay Jagger or Jarvis the money that I owe them for the bet that we've just had. That's really where I'm at, you know. I've obviously lost some money because we've had a bet. But we don't say anything because I think...
You've got to say something.
You can't shout from the balcony. You can't just shout down and say, oi!
Oi! Oh, you. Pick up your dog poo.
You can. That's the whole point.
You know, one of the weird observations we made as well is that people with little dogs generally pick it up. We've noticed a few of the people with the bigger dogs, they do the whole thing, I don't think my dog did anything. I can't see it.
It's like three handfuls of dog poo.
There's no way you cannot see what a big dog has done.
That's right.
When a big dog...
The people with the little dogs have got, you know, they pull out that tiny little plastic bag and they pick it up and tie it in and tie it to their collar. And then with a big dog, they pull out a bin liner, put it in, throw it over their shoulder.
You know,
it's like a Santa sack.
They walk around like Santa Claus. That's Cozzy because his dog... Zorba, oh man, it's a Great Dane.
Oh my God, I know.
I mean, that's it. The big dogs, you know when your big dog has done something.
But also, are you yelling out? Because generally somebody who's got a big dog can be a little bit fearsome, I guess, in the way they look as well. Are you yelling out, going, are you seeing big dogs, pick it up, and then they go, are you? Get stuffed.
Well, the problem is if you're yelling from your own house, then they know where you live.
Of course.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to say. So they have a bit of trepidation, I think, if it was at your house.
Yep.
If you're just driving in your car or something, I feel it's okay to wind down the window and say, pick it up.
Oh, that's you're doing a drive-by. So you're a drive-by assassin.
I'm actually a little bit more passive aggressive than that. We've got this little nature strip near our house, and there's one guy who does. It's like he takes his dog there to do a poo. Uh-huh.
Dogs go in familiar places.
Yeah, so he doesn't clean it up at his house, but he doesn't clean it out on the nature strip as well. So what?
he brings the dog to do it and just leave it.
Yeah, and we've seen him do it. And so I got my husband to go and get a sign and stick a sign up saying, pick up after your dog.
Illawarra.
Wait. Sorry. Before you say Illawarra, pick up after your dog. You sent Milko to make that sign and to put it into the ground. This is... Milko's become like you've a hired hand. He's now
I'm a passive aggressive confrontist.
I don't know about that. That's next level.
Next level will be that Jade will get Lulu and Arwen to make a sign saying, "Thanks, I stepped in your dog poo. I'm 8 and 4."
Walk around with pooey shoes.
Yep.
I don't know that you're directly dealing with this, Jade, but exactly. That's okay. That's all right.
What would you do, Illawarra?
All right, Diane. What do you do? Do you call them out when they don't pick up the dog poo, or do you not?
I have no filter. Yes.
Look,
the way that I see it, if I'm held accountable for the things that I do, then I'm no different or no better than anyone else, and I will hold them accountable. There was a guy across the road walking his dog, and it had a crap and went to walk off, and we yelled out, "Oi, you going to pick that up?"
Yes.
I said, "Hey, you wait right there, mate, and I'll get you a bag."
I want Diane to be my mum.
You wait right there.
Yes.
She's the only one in this conversation who's got guts.
Yes. Wow, Diane's cool.
We're off to Mount Warrigal, and Renee's waiting for us.
What would you do? Do you think you say anything, or do you just kind of watch, roll your eyes, and walk on?
A bit of both. Depends who it is. Depends how sloppy it is too. Who wants to pick that up?
Yeah. You can leave that for a few days.
That's fair. You don't want to sit there scraping it up off the ground, do you, really?
Hose it in.
Oh, gee. Hose it in.
Hosing it in. There's
a lot of truth in that one.
No more. Interogy, Celia, g'day.
I have before, and it's just not welcomed with a great response. I have. It's been on my lawn, and I have picked it up for them.
You put it in the bag. You pick it up for them. You pick it in the bag, and then you tie a little knot in it, and then you throw it at them.
That is the horrible thing when you've got to pick up somebody else's. It's like if you're babysitting someone's baby, and they have a dirty nappy, and you go, "Oh, that's somebody else's baby. I can't deal with that.
How long till they get home?
I can't deal with that. No way.
You're babysitting them.
I can't deal with somebody else's. Whether it's their child or their dog, I couldn't pick it up.
Well, the thing is, you can't just leave it there. Especially got kids, they'll step in it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to pick it up.
I do the old. You wait until it's a little bit drier, and you kick it.
you kick it onto the footpath, don't you?
Somebody help!
Someone else's problem.
Kick away.